Welcome to Out There with TJ Ryan. It's strange. It's unusual. It's mysterious. It's out there, out there, out there, out there. And now your host, TJ Ryan.
Thanks for joining me. My name is TJ Ryan. You're listening to Out There. My guest this week is a fellow I've known for, I don't even know how long it is. His name is Dan Dunlop. He's Native American. I'm going to let Dan, first of all, Dan, how you doing?
Great. Glad to be here.
It's nice to see you again.
Yes, it's been a while.
It's been a while, brother.
I pop in and out every couple years.
You're like a spirit that keeps popping into my life, aren't you?
Well, better than a bad habit.
Yes, exactly. So, and Dan, when did we first meet? Do you know offhand?
It must have been at least 10 years ago.
You called me up one time. You heard me on the radio. Said I reminded you of somebody you worked with in Texas or something
Yes, I used to do a radio morning show in Texas.
And where was that on? If
that was out of, we started out in El Paso, Texas at K Buena. And then we went to Houston to La M Grande. No, that was in, then we went to San Antonio, which was La M Grande. And it was a pretty wild ride for about 5.5 years.
And then it didn't go so well after that. Now, you weren't really on the radio. You were kind of in the background, how do you affect it to that?
I was like the sound special effects man and took care of the log and the special effects. And I would whisper, trivia questions into their ears
So you kind of did some engineering on that, too.
Yeah. And I was
So what made you decide to call me?
Well, Albert was about the most, he was a comic genius. And then when I was listening to you, You just like ran parallel lines perfect with each other.
I don't know about that.
Only, as far as a comic genius.
I wouldn't call myself that. No.
Well, you are good.
Well, you're too kind. Because but that's nice. I'm glad you feel that way. But so where did you grow up? You're from Upper Michigan, right?
Yes. Born and raised in, I was born at home in Gladstone, Michigan.
Okay.
And all my brothers were...
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have 10. 3 sisters and 7 boys in our family.
Wow.
So there's 10 altogether.
What kind of home was it that you grew up in?
It was very dysfunctional. Mm-hmm. Alcoholism was rampant. I mean, it was just very, very negative. Mm-hmm. But when you grow up in that environment, you don't know any better.
A lot of times, I'd agree with that. Especially if you don't have, were there any good examples in your life at all, Dan?
Well, yes, we lived out, out in Perkins area. Mm. And we lived way down this old dirt road. And being in the woods, the wilderness, was just, I just felt so free out there. And all of our animals, the cows, the chickens... We even raised wild deer, from fawns, brought them home. And everything, we never kept penned up. Mm. Everything, goats, we just let them run wild.
And they always stuck around.
Oh, they knew where their bread was buttered. Every night they come home.
And they'd come back.
The only one we kept penned up was the pig.
The pig would take off?
Oh, he would take off. Yeah, we'd have to go out in the swamp and find him and have a stick smacking his butt all the way home.
They say pigs are really intelligent.
Yeah, not this one.
Dan, what tribe are you with? What is the name of the tribe?
I'm the Odawa. It's Ottawa.
Okay.
But we took back our original name before the...
And where does that originate from, the Odawa?
The Odawa originate up in Canada.
Okay.
Along with the Ojibwe, which is the Chippewa.
Okay.
See, everybody's taken back their original names.
Okay. And so that's a tribe that dates back, thousands of years, I'm guessing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Who knows beyond that,
Did you ever study any, I'm sure you studied some of the, your own native culture and the history?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Is everybody kind of taught that?
About?
Your native culture? Or is that something you have to seek?
You have to seek it.
Okay.
Yeah, like all spiritual teachings, you have to seek it. You have to want it. And not just Native American. There's a lot of good teachings in all kinds of spiritualities from all over the world.
I agree with you on that. Now, Dan, without going into too much detail, because you've told me a lot, and you're a very honest man. You tell me everything. You've led a pretty rough life.
Oh, yeah.
Even in the last few years, right?
Yes.
You've had a battle with alcohol.
Oh, yeah. Alcoholism, and I was what you would term a pothead. I was a six-pack and a joint kind of guy, even though it turned into sometimes a case and a half and an ounce of weed.
And how did you become, after you had this alcohol? Was there a big change in you?
Oh, yes, yes. I call it my journey of change.
I mean, did you transform into somebody that was mean?
When I drank?
Yes.
Oh, yes. I think everybody has that capability because, to me, it's like your spirit stands off to the side of you, and your house is empty then, and that allows these negative spirits to come in and control you.
You know, we talked about this, and there's an example of this because, and I agree with you on this point because I've heard that before, is that you're... true spirit is a very divine spirit, but you know, if you're going to not follow it and worship it, respect it, you're going to kind of open the doorway to other things that can maybe take control for a while.
Oh yeah, and they do too. You go into an alcoholic blackout, and man, the shame and the...
You know, that happened to me a little bit one time. I was at a Brewer game, and I got pretty hammered before the game. I don't remember the first seven innings, but I do remember saying some things that weren't me. It was like I was observing it, and being really obnoxious. And yes. I'm not like that. And I couldn't believe I was doing that. I never got to that state again, but that happened to you quite often.
Oh, man, alcoholic blackouts. I didn't drink to be sociable. I drank to get drunk. Mm. And
how are you now? How are you doing on that
note? Oh, I don't drink anymore. I don't smoke weed anymore. Coffee, and I'm on the verge of quitting cigarettes. I've stopped them, but then I picked them back up, you know, But, you know, it's a whole lot better life. I don't have that shame, that guilt, that you know, oh, just that shame by itself and that guilt. Oh, no, what did I do? What did I say?
Have you ever been in, and this is a personal question, and I don't want to, we can always edit this out. And I know the answer, but I'm going to ask it. You've been in jail, in prison?
Oh, yes, yes. As a matter of fact, I just got out.
Isn't that something? Now, people would say, TJ, you're talking to a convict. Well, it's not quite like that with Dan. Do you mind me asking the reason why?
Well, I was on probation for child support, and my brother died, and the probation officer wouldn't let me go to my brother's funeral. Even though it was only 40 minutes away from Marinette to Escanaba. And then we had about 3-4 months after that, you know, that just ate me up because I never understood we don't have closure. Mm-hmm. Unless you experience it, you'll never have closure. And so there's like a big hole left there. Mm-hmm. And about 3 months later, we had this ghost supper, another Native American spiritual ceremony where we on our mother's anniversary of her death, we have a big meal and we have a gift giveaway, and everybody that shows up, you know, whoever throws it has to have presents spread out on a blanket for everybody that's there to take whatever they want to take home. This is the true meaning of an Indian giver. Weddings, birthdays, whoever birthday and anniversary or wedding it is, they got to bring presents for everybody.
So if it's your birthday, that really stinks. Because
yeah, because you got to spend about a month making things to give away.
Boy, so that's where the term comes from.
Yeah, that's what it's really meant to be.
You know what I do like about Dan is that he doesn't take offense because he's a huge guy. And I'm not a real big guy. He could squash me like a bug, and I razz him to no end, and he razzes me a bit, and he's got a good sense of humor. He's been through a lot, and what I see, which is really amazing, is that he's come through the other side, and it looks like he's starting to get some clarity and yes, go in the direction I think he needs to go in. So, you know, it's a struggle for all of us, I think. We have a journey. We're going to take a break. His name is Dan Dunlap. I've known Dan for quite a while now, and we have some amazing stories to tell.
Yes.
And some of them are quite humorous. Dan has a colorful way of telling a story, and they're true, at least according to Dan. So we'll find out in just a moment on Out There.
Out There.
Out There.
Out There. Out
There. Thanks for listening to this podcast. If you downloaded it and are not sure of the website, it's outthere.podbean.com. That's outthere.podbean.com. No www. Also, go to braverinstitute.com. That's www.braverinstitute.com. And I have a link on that site as well. And we appreciate any kind of comments, and we appreciate you listening. Thanks.
It's Out There.
Out There.
Out There.
Out There.
My guest is Dan Dunlap. He is from Gladstone originally. I guess he's... Where are you residing at now, Dan?
Here in Escanaba.
Okay, you're helping your brother, aren't you?
Yes.
Your brother has diabetes.
Yes.
And you come back to help him through this difficult time.
Yes, I was operating out of love. And when you operate out of love, love always keeps the door open. And so child support is still hounding you, you know, and... All of a sudden, I get a job taking care of them where I can pay my child support and everything.
That's been the hardest thing for you. You just haven't been able to get a lot of jobs, right?
Well, I've been a carpenter, and being up here in the spring, summer, and fall, you get ahead, and then in the winter time, you always fall behind. Hmm. Then it's just a never-ending loop of, it just never ends.
A lot of people will say people that don't pay child support or the fathers are bums. But that's not the case. I mean, every story is different. I'm sure there are some fathers out there that don't care, but that's not the case with you, is it?
No. I love my two boys. And I'll tell you what, nobody will ever tell me that they're a mistake or make me feel that they're a mistake. I love my boys, and they are my greatest joy that I have.
Let's talk about your first paranormal experience. If you remember this one, we were talking about it the other day. You know what I'm referring to about... Well, actually, the first time you saw the hairy thing out in the woods.
Oh, yeah. This is all back in my childhood.
How old were you back then?
Shoot, I'd say 7, 8, 9, 10. And what, up you until were 11 years old.
You were outside.
Yeah, I was outside. It was wintertime, and it wasn't a... You know, like a cloudy day and everything, you know, sun coming and going in the cloud. And I'm wrestling with our dogs in the 80-acre field. And I'm wrestling with them, you know, just having fun with the dogs. And they're wrestling back with me. They were like my best friends. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, these dogs stood up and their ears went up. So I was wondering what made these dogs, you know, stop and just look. So I stood up and I started looking down at the corner of that 80-acre field. And here's this big, hairy thing. And I'm going, what is that? That looks like a gorilla. And all of a sudden, the dogs take off running out after it. And it takes off running into the woods. And I'm going, it running like a man. How can a gorilla run like a man? Well, I run back in the house. And all my brothers and sisters are sitting around watching, if you won't believe, it's a Johnny Weissmuller Tarzan movie. And as I run in, I'm going, there's a gorilla outside. And here's all these gorillas on TV. And they're looking at me like I'm crazy, you know? Yeah, right.
What are the odds of them watching that at the time?
That was pretty comical. And I couldn't get none of them to come up.
Did they think you saw something?
They're going, you probably just seen a bear. And I'm going, it's the middle of winter. What's a bear doing out there? I said, it took off running like a man. And they're going, oh, a gorilla that took off running like a man. Yeah. And so I go back outside by myself because I know what I seen. And I was probably 8 years old, about eight. I take off running down to that corner of that field. And here's these huge footprints with the toe marks in the snow. And I'm looking at them, I'm going, wow, that looks like a human footprint. So I take off running back to the house, and I go, come on, it left its footprints. It looks like a giant man's foot, but he's barefoot. You can see the toes and everything. Oh, yeah, now it's a gorilla that has man feet. And I couldn't get nobody to come
nobody
out.
Nobody ever came out.
Nobody that. Came out. The dogs came back.
Now, are you the oldest one of the family?
No, I'm fifth out of 10.
Okay. So the older ones didn't even want to come out.
Yeah, they kind of teased me about it, about seeing my gorilla.
And the little ones didn't probably want to go out there.
They just looked like, you know.
What's wrong
like,
with Dan?
Yeah, he's seeing things, you know. And then the funny part of it is that always, it burnt into my memory. And I always wondered, what was that? And then when I was 13 years old, where that guy filmed that one in that rocky riverbed.
Right.
It was black and everything, and as soon as I seen it, I said, "That's what I seen."
You had no idea.
I didn't have no idea what it was, or
you had
what,
never heard of it before.
Then. Never heard of it until
because it's real popular in the native culture, but you guys weren't real close to that.
No, we grew up with a lot of Swede, Finlanders, and Norwegians up there in Perkins and Rock area, and you know, some of my best friends are Swedish and. I didn't know what a sweat lodge was, but I went to many saunas. Everybody has a sauna.
Yeah, a lot of people in that area.
But it wasn't until I seen that it two and two connected that, wow, that was a Bigfoot I seen. My gorilla with human feet running like a man was a Bigfoot.
Well, think about it as a kid. You're only going to express it as how you remember it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I didn't know what it was, but until I seen that. That footage, because they had it on a matinee.
Right. That was, trying to think of the man that shot the film. And now they're debating as to whether it's real or not.
Well, there's no way you can have muscles moving like that.
Especially back then. Yeah. You know, maybe technology now, they could recreate it and make it animated, you know, where it's recomputed through a computer. And they can make, you know, realistic they can
make it. Well, I watch them trying to debunk it and the muscle structure and the muscles
that's
moving
what some
and
said.
Everything.
That's what some said about it. But I think there's, you know, just between, this is just how I feel about it. I think there are those that want to debunk anything that they don't understand.
Well, that's a shame, too, because once you close your mind, you're stuck there. You
and there's a lot
nowhere.
Of things that people will jump on, don't you agree, Dan, that aren't real? Oh, look at that in the sky. What is that? It's the moon. You know? No, it's a UFO. Look at it moving around. It's rotating around the Earth. Yeah, it's the moon. Watch, tomorrow it's going to be back there. It's the moon. You know, some people overreact to all that. And then, so I can understand those people. You got to set them straight a little bit.
Well, yeah, but, you know, it doesn't take a genius to figure out when somebody's looking at the moon. And,
well, that's a bad example.
Or some swamp gas.
Some things can be explained away, but what you saw there... pretty hard to explain that away. And probably nobody, this is back in the 60s, right?
Yeah.
And nobody would have been walking around in a gorilla suit, right?
Or a Bigfoot suit.
Nobody would have been doing that, right?
No.
Not out there, because you're way out there.
Yeah, way out there in the boondocks.
All right. So people can say, well, it was probably this. And I like when they say it's a bear. I've seen bear, you know, stand up, but they can't walk. And they certainly can't run.
Oh, we got attacked by a couple bears because we're in their berry patch. That's the only time we had a dessert was when berry season come around. Uh-huh. And I'm telling you, man, them bears, and they come up and standing on their hind legs and growling. It didn't look anything like that Bigfoot.
When you said you got attacked.
Well, our dog, every time it focused on us, we just left our berry pails and took off running. And I was ahead of all my brothers and sisters. I stood there watching as my brothers and sisters run away because I always had this caretaker spirit to look after them and take care of them. And every time that bear would focus on us, our dog would run up and grab it right in the butt and just chomp on it. And then it would focus on him, on our dog.
Isn't that amazing?
And then the dog would run around barking and barking. This thing's trying to get it. And my sister, you know, and we got about half mile down the road and we're going, oh no, hope the bear didn't get Cubby. And sure enough, here she comes just to run. I said he, but it was really a female dog. Here she comes running up behind us, you know, oh, we're so happy to see her. And twice that happened.
Cubby saved your lives.
Twice.
Somebody would have probably been gone, right?
Oh, yeah. There is no doubt about it. Because if that thing would have took off running, it would have ran us right down.
And that's something I talked about in one of my other shows, is with the amazing connection animals have with us and how they can seem to sense and even maybe even pick up on our thoughts.
That's it, too. That's why I was sitting there contemplating and meditating on why nobody can find a Bigfoot. And, you know, like dogs, they say dogs have that ESP. They sense right. things that are coming. Well, these Bigfoots, they also have these, right. these ESP that can sense things and that are coming and all that, and they just vanish.
And do all of us have that ability?
Oh, absolutely.
And then how, you know, we just don't know how to use it, maybe?
Well, it's like a onion. We have to peel away these layers and layers of muck and mirror before we can get to that pure glowing power energy love that is God within us.
We have to take a break. We are already almost done with two segments. We only got to one of your stories, but that's what happens. We're just having fun talking. His name is Dan Dunlop, and we'll talk to Dan a little bit more in just a moment here on Out There.
Out there, out there, out there, out
there. What can I tell you about Dan Dunlop? He doesn't have a website. He's not promoting anything. He's just a friend of mine who just happened to pop in the other day, and I asked him if he'd come on my show because he's told me many, many times these very interesting stories, very colorful, very entertaining. And I've always listened to him tell the story, and it's never changed. Maybe a little more detail was added when he's telling someone else. And to me, that was a sign that it was a pretty accurate story. And even when we're doing this interview, between takes, he was telling some of the stories to other people that stopped in the studio. So what I can learn from Dan is that, for one, he feels like a brother to me, and perhaps there is some kind of connection. I don't know what it is. I truly love the guy. And two, you can't judge a book by its cover. He's been through some really, a lot of ups and downs. And it's so easy to discard somebody that you don't think fits into a category that you consider valid. And thank goodness I didn't do that with Dan. He has taught me a lot, and I hope you enjoy the rest of this interview.
Hi, this is David Twitchell, author of The UFO Jesus Connection, and you're listening to Out There.
Welcome back to Out There. Boy, you know what? We were in between, and actually, just as we ended the second break, somebody came by, and it's just, I really believe it was meant to be. They actually were here to meet you. I don't know if I'm wrong on that, Dan, but it's a friend of mine going through some problems. I've known her for a long time, and I don't know if you picked up that or not, but you have some wisdom to offer, I think, because you've been down that road. Now, we're going to talk about, because you've had some really strange things happen. So have I. But you've got an interesting way of telling the stories. You and your brother were living in the house with all 10 kids, was it, at the time?
Yes.
And you guys had your own room, or what was it?
Well, see, there was three bedrooms, one for my mom and dad, a middle one for the older boys, and then we had a bedroom for me and the girls, or my younger brothers and the girls. They slept on one side of the room, and we slept on the other side of the room in a big bed, you know, shared a bed. And then, when we first moved in there, we noticed these bullet holes going through the middle bedroom's door, and then going through the bathroom door, and then the bullet hole stopped in the door, in the wall. And it was still in there and everything, the bullet holes and everything. And we're going, what was going on here? Well, here we find out that a guy shot himself and committed suicide in that middle bedroom.
Mm.
So we are sitting there, and we're on our side of the room, and the girls are on their side of the room, and we all slept in that room. And then the boys had the older boys, four of them, had the middle bedroom. Well, they come out one time, and they're going, hey, you guys want your own bedroom? And me and my brother were going, yeah, we'll take it. So we're thinking, all right, we got our own bedroom, you know. So we move in, they move out. Some of the boys slept on the couches, you know, after that. And Some of the boys slept on the couches after that, and the two or three slept in our bed. So we fixed our whole room up. Oh wow, we got our own bedroom, and we're just 8, 9 years old, 10 right. years old, and as we're sitting there sleeping, all of a sudden we hear this thing moving around in the bedroom, and turn the light on. There ain't nothing there, and all of a sudden we hear moving, you know, and feel something sit down on the bed, and me and my brother are just scared, you know, hugging each other, just scared, you know. And the next day we go, we want our room back. No, he's made a deal. He's got to stay there. We're going, it's haunted. And they're going, no, no. They knew it was haunted.
Yeah.
And that's why they traded with us. So me and my brother were locked into this deal that we made, that we had to sleep in that bedroom.
Well, how long did that last?
About 2.5 years.
Did you move to another house or what happened?
No, we stayed in there, and then some other friends that had a couple babies, she moved in there, and then we moved out to give her the space. And
did she have problems?
No. No, oh. We told her that, don't worry about him, you know, he ain't ever going to hurt you or nothing. Yeah, I said, you might hear him move around or feel him sit on the bed. I said, but don't worry, he ain't ever going to hurt you. And that was it, you know, we just never... We didn't have no fear after that,
right.
Because we knew he wasn't there to hurt us.
Yeah, and some might be. Now let's move forward, because we got about 6 minutes left. And there's this guy that a friend of yours, I'm guessing from school, that rode the bus. And he had this house, and it was never finished.
No, it was a family that lived on the end of the cemetery road, and we pulled up. You know, and this is, you know, I was probably about 13 years old then, and we pulled up, and all the time and every day, you know, the bus would turn around there and go back. Well, as it would back up to turn around, one part of their house was just immaculate, nice white siding, everything, and then the back half was just left like an old dingy nothing, you know. And so I'm always looking at that, and then they get on the bus, and then I asked one day, one of the girls, I said, why is one half of your house really immaculate nice, and the back half is just like no siding, no paint, no nothing? And she goes, well, the ghost won't let us fix up his part of the house. And I go, ghost? She goes, yeah, we have a ghost. He lives on the back half of the house, and we live on the front half. And I go, really? And she goes, yeah, that's why we don't have any friends over, because he's really controlling, and he won't let us have any friends over or visitors.
Now, did you believe her when she told you?
Yeah.
Because you had experienced your own.
Yeah. I mean, then I started telling, you know, I said, her older brother, I said, is this true? And he goes, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've been living with a ghost. And I said, well, me and my brother, we live with a ghost too, you know. And I said, he never bothered us or nothing, but at first it scared us, but then we just got used to him and said, oh, it's just a ghost sitting on the bed or moving things right. around.
But this ghost was different.
Oh yeah, this one was very controlling.
And so did you talk about that with these kids from time to time again?
Oh yeah, when me and him started talking around with his sisters too, you know, on the bus, then all these other kids started coming around. And then, man, you would be surprised that about 4 or 5 kids on that bus started telling ghost stories about living with ghosts themselves in their own houses.
And that's really what this show is about, is that people hear this and hopefully they say, you know what? I got a story. So what happened eventually? Did you ever find out about this ghost?
Yeah, this is the funny part. I moved out to California. I moved back home. And I'm driving around, you know, in the old neighborhood and everything out in the boonies, you know, little town of Perkins. And I go down the road, you know, see a friend of mine that lived down from there. And I said, well, I just go down. And I go turn around and I'm looking at that house, one half, the back half. And I'm probably about 32 years
old. So this is like 20 years later.
Yeah. Yeah. And I go, man, I'm going to go back there and see what's in that back part of the house. So I get out of my car, pull up, back up, you know, get out of my car. I sneak around to the back, and it's a beautiful sunny day.
So and, it's a daytime. You're still
yeah, there. It's in the daytime. So I had to cup my eyes like that and put my head right up against the window with my eyes cupped so that I could see inside that room. And here's an old table with two old chairs, an old armchair with an old side table, and the paint on the wall was all chipping and everything, you know. And the countertop, it was like the kitchen area. There was just old, nasty cupboards in there. And then the curtains were all just like sitting there for so long, they were just like falling apart. And I'm looking with my eyes cupped like that and taking all this in. I'm going, man, if a ghost ever lived any place, he would live in there. And all of a sudden, I hear a noise. And so I pull back. I look both from side to side, you know, and I'm listening and I don't hear any more noises, you know. So I cup my eyes again and go up against the window, and here's this face looking right in the window at me from inside, and I've got my eyes cupped, and this thing was mad. I've never seen such a mean, evil face in my life. And I let out, and I went stumbling back. I fall down. I get up, and I take off running to my car. Well, the guys that I grew up with, their mother lived there, and she come running out, and she's going, what did you do? And I said, I was just checking out the ghost. He's mad now. What did you do? I said, I was just looking. I said, I promise I'll never come back again. And I tell you what, man, I that to see that face back at me like that.
And you just saw the face, not the body or anything.
No, all I seen was the face. I didn't want to look anymore, man. It scared me.
Could you see through this face? Was it could it be a person?
No, it was just like somebody.
I mean, could it have been somebody in there trying to trick you?
Yeah, absolutely, because there was no he looked very, very real, you know.
Wow.
But this one time just happened just maybe 2 years ago at my brother's where he's living now.
Hmm.
Lots of spirits around that place. And there's this little girl about 3.5 years old, and she's just throwing a tantrum, you know. And so we all leave the kitchen, and she's on the floor pounding her feet and hands and crying. And we go down into the living room. We're all sitting around, and we're just leaving her up there crying. We're going, oh, that's a beautiful song. Sing us another verse. And then all of a sudden, this little girl lets out a blood-curdling scream. And it wasn't a bratty scream. It was a scream like something was after. So I jump up, and I run up into the kitchen. She comes running down, and we pass each other. And I look in the bathroom. I look, you know, into the hallway and everything. I go outside, and I'm looking up and down the street, and I come back, and I go, there's nothing there, you know. And here's this little girl on her mom's lap, just got her face buried into her shoulder, and she's just holding her little daughter, you know. And then all of a sudden, that little girl pulls back, and she goes, you can't see them ghosts very good, can you, Mom? And we all look and go, whoa! that one spirit must have got mad because she, you know, she was throwing tantrums.
Upset her in the house.
Manifest.
Well, that was a good way to discipline the kids, right?
Yeah, but I'm just saying, how can a little three-year-old girl that never even knew nothing about
right.
this
exactly.
come up with that and say, you can't see them ghosts very good, can you, Mom?
I know.
So,
and
I take that as she's seen through it.
We have to finish up here, but you know we can do this again if you don't mind.
Oh, I don't mind. I man, you got the little people, when I seen the little
I know. We got a lot of stories we can get to. And, and not only that, but maybe go down a different path and talk about some things that, that you've learned. And I wouldn't mind doing some of that. I don't want to come across trying to preach to anybody, but I think you have some wisdom to share with others. So maybe we'll do that as well.
Oh, yeah. That journey of change, of walking out of that darkness into the light and walking in that
You've light. Certainly walked many times over. Thank you, Dan. It's nice to see you, brother.
All right. Thank you, brother.
And we'll talk again soon. Dan Dunlop.
Music on Out There, created by Kevin MacLeod.
How do you go around that without saying it?
Quincy Day. You know, pronounce it differently or something like that. Ka-ding, ka-ding. All right, stand by. We're going to go. Here's segment one of the great man, the great wise man.
Well, thank you.
No, I meant somebody else.
No. Oh, just kidding. Now you're getting to be TJ, I know.
I'm a little smart ass, ain't I? So I'd like to wring my neck sometimes, wouldn't you, Dan?
Oh, no.
Okay.
I love you, brother.
Same here.